Hi, I'm Dr. Sophia, email marketing strategist and educator, and I am committed to making email marketing simple and profitable for you. Through my online email marketing school, Sophia Learning Hall, you can find the link in the show notes. Fun fact, I'm an obstetrician gynecologist resident in training. Yes, I'm an actual practicing medical doctor. Email marketing experiments was born out of the desire to share behind the scenes of failed and successful email marketing campaigns. Simply put, what we've tried, not just me, but me and every guest I bring on the show, what we've tried that has worked or didn't work. So instead of just thinking it and testing it, we're committed to also sharing the BTS with you on this podcast. Come join us behind the scenes. And one more thing, as you listen, if you're a freelancer, service provider, or business owner, go ahead and check the show notes for the gift I kept for you. You'll find it under the title Gift. Now let's go behind the scenes. Hi, listeners. Welcome back to Email Marketing Experiments.
Hi, listeners. Welcome back to Email Marketing Experiments. Today, I have your favorite bartender. She is the chief brand mixologist behind Dick Street Brand Bar, and she's bottling business owners' brilliance into signature brands that are unmistakably the obvious choice. With 20 years of experience in brand strategy, she has built the signature brand framework to align credibility, personality, and expression into a cohesive brand system that carries the weight of your marketing. A dash of AI powers the process, training, custom tools on each client's voice, so showing up feels consistent, confident, and unmistakably them. From the high-touch signature brand experience to the brand bar subscription and AI-powered tools ensures brands don't just launch strong, they stay sharp. And let me tell you something. I'm trying to remember where I connected with her emails, right? Because I have signed up for her email list and I got to see what we're going to talk about today, play out. And I'm like, you know how you see somebody's results and you're wondering, what's the back end of this thing like? Like, so how are you able to give me these answers that are so personalized and all of that? So when she's talking brand mixologist, it's like no jokes because it was too personal to a T. And I'm like, I like what you're doing with email. So I'm talking about no other person than Christy Lawson. Christy, it's so good to have you. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. I mean, we will dive into how you did that thing.
Yeah.
Because I must say, I was impressed. And the fact that it's not just one personalized touch point, but I mean, I keep telling people that email marketing has to be personal, but this was personal on a whole new level. It wasn't hello first name. It wasn't you signed up for this. It was like a whole signature experience. And so today we're going to be talking about her cocktail experience. If you've never seen a cocktail experience in an email, you're going to hear about it today. But first of all, I mean, you have 20 plus years, right? In brand and marketing and all of that. I mean, that's amazing. Can you tell us a bit about your story?
Yeah, sure. Well, I like to say sort of like communications and brand and marketing is in my blood. I am like fifth generation printing from a printing background. My family owns a printing company. So I sort of grew up in all of this. I live in Washington, D.C., and I worked in politics. I worked in media. I worked in TV. I worked in public relations. I ran communications for a national nonprofit. We did a really big rebrand, changed the name, website, everything in one day. And I just sort of like, at that point, fell in love with brand strategy, like as a whole, and the difference having sort of a really signature brand can make for your marketing, for everything that you do. And so, yeah, I've just sort of gone all in helping people figure out what is brilliant about them and their brand and how to bottle that up into a signature brand that is unmistakable, remembered, and the obvious choice in the room.
I totally love it. Now, I mean, during the pandemic, you did something really interesting. During the pandemic, I was all stuck up at home. I was baking. As far as I could get ingredients delivered to my house, I could bake.
Right.
Well, you went ahead and built a whole cabin.
I did.
And I'm like, how did that happen?
So first is that my husband and I live in Washington, D.C. We live downtown. We have zero outdoor space. We live in a converted warehouse. So there's no balcony. There's no, yard. And a few years before the pandemic, we had bought 15 acres in the mountain that we were thinking it was sort of during the tiny house craze. And so we thought that we would like eventually buy a tiny house and put out there. But for the most part, it was just sort of when we would camp with friends, we would have this land to go out to. And when the pandemic happened, we realized that we needed to speed up our plans for this land because we were stuck inside and very much stuck inside with no, couldn't even like have tea or a glass of wine outside. And so we ordered a cabin kit from a company in Vermont, and it came on like just the lumber itself on a massive truck that couldn't even get all the way down our driveway. And we found a guy basically via Craigslist who we needed a picnic table moved at some point. And he happened to be a contractor looking for extra work on the weekends. And so the three of us literally built this cabin by hand, and we did some upgrades. But it's off the grid. There's no running water. There's, we have a generator. I still use my cell phone hotspot to work out there, but we love it. We're out there every weekend. We have a bathhouse. We have a cookhouse. We've been building little buildings around the cabin. It was an adventure. And, never thought I would own a tractor. I'm very much a city girl. I'm now a mountain and city girl. I'm not a suburban girl. You won't find me anywhere in between, but I love it.
I mean, that's so interesting. So do you like drive the tractor?
Well, I one time didn't put the turn the parking brake off, and I almost like fell or crashed down a hill. So I'm not allowed to drive the tractor right now, actually. But I have, and my husband thinks he might let me again.
That's really interesting. Now, you also love to travel. What would you
Yeah.
say is the most interesting place you've visited so far?
I don't know if it's like the most interesting because I think anywhere is amazing where we're like trying different things. So I think it's more like what we do when we're there. Like we went recently, went to Oaxaca, Mexico, and we tried 65 different kinds of mezcal and were, on the fields of a local palenque, like walking the agave field. I've gone paragliding in Slovakia and surfing in South Africa. I think it's just sort of like I'm willing to go anywhere and everywhere that someone wants to go with me, but I'm going to find like the coolest thing to do when we're there. That's sort of my thing.
And that's so amazing. Love it, love it, love it. Now let's come back to emails, right?
Yeah.
Let's come back to emails because we're about to have a really interesting conversation. But before we dive right into this, amazing thing you've built, if you were to give email marketing a job description, the same way you give a JD to somebody that's applying for, something, right? What would you say is the JD for email marketing in your business?
Oh gosh. I would say your job is to oof, put me on the spot. It's to keep people coming back and ordering a second round and a third round and a fourth round. Because with email marketing, you've already made that first impression, you've got them in the door. And I think in bar terms, right? I think in cocktail terms. So you want them sat in their seat and ordering more from the bar. And I think the job of email is to do that, is to like keep them there and to keep them ordering more.
All right, so we're talking retention.
Yeah. Retention, engagement, they need to like it. They need to like the vibe. They need to feel welcome. All of the things that come with wanting you sort of like to be a regular at a bar, right? There's a lot of things that are involved in it, but it is around engagement and building that trust and having fun. And your job is also to like every day you send an email, that one job is for them to open that email and read it.
Got it, got it. Now you've done email for your business for quite some time, and I'm curious, we have this tradition here where you get to share your biggest, worst email marketing mistake, something that made you cringe or maybe want to go hide under the bed or just disappear. What would you say that was for you?
I've had many in my career. I ran a communication team of that we were in charge of 15 different people or 15 different teams. And the approval process that went through to get one email out was intense. And the fact that we would still send an email out with a wrong date, a wrong link, you know, whatever is always bad. But I will probably say the one of the worst things is, and it doesn't really have to do with email, except it happened in the email. But when I launched my business, I launched during COVID, I sent the email out to every person in my contact list that could possibly know someone that wants brand and marketing support. And I proudly shared my logo. And in my logo, the tagline had a spelling error. Again, went through, you know, I looked at it a million times. The graphic designer I hired looked at it a million times. Like my friends and family looked at it a million times and no one caught it. Until I sent it out to literally everyone in my list to be like, I have credibility. I've started a business. And there was a big mistake in there.
I feel like that thing always happens.
Always.
Like, kind of, like, you know, over and over and over again. But it always shows up after you press send. Either it's magically appearing there or, I mean, I don't get it sometimes.
I always tell this story to be like, when people are like hung up on like doing something and just sort of like, especially when they're like starting their business. I work with a lot of like newer solopreneurs too. And they're like, they get hung up on the name of their business or their URL or their tagline or their logo. And I'm like, look, when you launch, it's not going to be perfect. Things are going to be messy. There's always going to be messiness. And that's sort of like what makes us authentic. So like, don't let these things hold you up because there's going to be a mistake. Nothing's going to be perfect, you know?
That's true. That's true. And it can only get better from there. I mean, when you do it the first time, you do it again, then it just keeps getting better from there. All right. All right. That's quite an interesting one. Now, let's dive into this thing. And for context, right, so our listeners, she has created a Choose Your Own Adventure Welcome Series. I've only ever seen one other one that I would say was pretty extensive, yeah. Right? Different, done differently. That one was almost like, it was almost like a Netflix and chill kind of adventure kind of series. Yeah. But this one is really different, right? Because not just are you choosing your own adventure, but it's almost like you are building the adventure for yourself. You are building the next thing you're going to see, you know. And I love that kind of personalization when it comes to email because people just have an experience. And these days, I'm all for experiences. So mm-hmm. it's not just about creating a welcome sequence, but giving people an experience. And this is a cocktail kind of experience, right? Based on, you know, your branding, your background, and all of that. So first of all, can you tell our listeners a bit of what this is about and how it works before we yeah. go right in?
Yeah, absolutely. As you said, it's a choose your own adventure cocktail experience. You start as you, and again, I have a cocktail themed business. I think in cocktail metaphors. And so when you start my welcome series, you're basically entering my bar and you're choosing how you're going to sit at the bar. And throughout, as you go, there's, you know, every few emails, you're getting a choice to make. And this is the choose your adventure and it takes you down a different path. Each choice goes to a different path. And so you start by how you're going to enter the bar and then you learn a little bit about you and your brand based on that choice that you made. Then the bartender, me, comes over and explains this experience, which is that you are going to craft a cocktail and we're going to do it together. And along the way, you're going to learn about me, about you, about the brand, about cocktails, and I am going to sell to you some. And at the top of the email, and this is one of the things that I love that I think is also like an easy thing that people can do. I sort of have a box that's like where you are in this experience. And so it shows all of the choices that you've made along the way. So as you choose your base spirit, whether you choose, you know, gin, mezcal, bourbon or rum, you know, that's going to show at the top. You move into the flavors that you choose, whether it's going to be like bitter, sour, sweet. You choose your cocktail style. You choose your garnishes and sort of like the flair, whether you're going for like the fancy glass or like the tahine rim. And along the way at the top, it's sort of giving you this progress report. So you sort of have this sense of where you're going. And at the very end, when you do finish, you get this custom cocktail that you have made because you have made these choices along the way. And as I've done it as much as I can to sort of give you your cocktail recipe, but I also sort of link to a GPT if you want to play around with it and and create one for yourself as well. And then I have a dealer's choice sequence as well. So if you choose not to make a choice after the first few emails, then you go into more of a standard email sequence where I have chosen for you, but you're still getting the progress bar at the top. You're still getting all of the choices. And throughout, if there's something where I'm talking about a product that I sell and you have already bought that product, you're not getting pitched that again. You're just sort of getting some reminder of the benefits of the thing that you already own. So there's lots of personalization throughout it. And you're in the driver's seat, which is really fun.
I mean, that's so interesting because I'm just thinking about how well thought out it is. And then in my head, I'm like, what does the back end tech look like? Because for someone to choose their own adventure, you know, get pulled into a sequence if they don't want to make a choice and then just keep going. Like, how many tools are we looking at to make this happen?
So I'm in Kit, ConvertKit. Kit as my email marketing system, and it's all inside there. And I have just sort of a database in Notion where I keep track of it all. I first started building it as like one giant automation and realized that was the wrong answer. So it is a lot of small automations in a lot of email sequences that sort of all work together using a lot of tagging structure and a lot of rules. And so every time someone finishes, you know, one automation, they get tagged with where they are. They obviously get tagged with the choices that they've made so that they can go into the right email sequence. It's a lot of tagging.
Wow. 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 All right. So now let's look at this, right? Because you also have a quiz, and I feel like this sequence starts off from this quiz, right? Yeah. So can you tell us a bit about the quiz and what it helps us do?
Yeah. So my quiz is, what's your signature brand marketing style? And it's actually based on the DISC framework, which is sort of like a personality assessment. But my way I do it is that you're either on the rocks, shaken, stirred, or neat. And it's really talking about sort of how you personally show up and enjoy marketing and sort of like what type of like brand style works for you. And so you're going to get sort of, when you take the quiz, again, a fun quiz, it has cocktail themes throughout, but it leads into deciding whether you're shaken, stirred, or neat. And I had the quiz first. And then when I built the cocktail experience, I realized that using that quiz was a great entry point into the welcome sequence. And so you can actually enter in both ways. So if you take the quiz first, you get a little bit of an adjusted email entry into the Choose Your Own Adventure. Or if you start in the Choose Your Own Adventure, then you end up sort of taking the quiz and then coming back to it. So it added more complication, actually.
I can imagine, because now people are thinking, it's like, okay, we're doing 360 here. We're starting here and we're still getting back here. And then we're going around again and all of that. And I'm just wondering, like, what were you doing? Or what was your welcome sequence like before, you know, you decided to go on a Choose Your Own Adventure?
It was your very standard 3 to 5 email, mostly about me, not really about my audience, introduction into my world. And, you know, I think it did the trick, right? I don't think it immediately got people like unsubscribed, but I really believe in creating like an immersive, interactive experience within your brand. You want people to feel like they are part of it. And so it felt like it was time to do something a little crazy.
And I'm just wondering, right? You created the quiz, then later on you added the Choose Your Own Adventure. So for the Choose Your Own Adventure, did you create it all at once? Like, how long did it take to be able to build out the masterpiece?
I did it over about 3 to 4 months, probably. And, you know, it really, the beginning, just figuring out the infrastructure and starting to build it was definitely intense. It was a lot of me at a coffee shop just sort of like mapping out what this could be, going through different iterations. I started with like more like a cocktail book, like a cookbook, and sort of chapters that you could like pick and choose. Because I will say, the whole thing that started this is that I was listening to my friend Allison Hardy, who is an email expert, and she was talking about how you need to train your audience to click. And I was like, okay, how do I train my email followers to click on my email? And so I was like, oh, I need to do this in the welcome series. They need to get used to clicking on my emails, which is sort of like a crazy thing to think about, that like you have to train people to do it. But if I'm just giving a lot of nurture, they're not going into my emails thinking, okay, there's going to be something after this that I'm going to want to go through. So that was sort of like what started this. And then I just got creative. But once I had probably like, so the emails go out every Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern, which is happy hour time in DC. And so I knew that once I had about 3 weeks worth of emails that I could launch it. And then I was sort of building as we went.
That's amazing. That's amazing. But can someone somehow end up on Trupad?
So yes, I have where people can restart it if they want. Like if they loved it and they want to like go back and do other choices. I don't know if anyone has, but I was like, maybe they're just going to love it so much that they want to restart it that they could. But when they're first going through it, you really can only choose one option. And if you happen to like click both, it's structured in a way that it's going to take like the first thing that you've chosen, I believe. Now I'm wondering about that.
Well, whether it's the first thing or the last, the thing is that there's a structure in place that you can only move forward on one part.
Yeah. There's structure in place that you can only move forward. Like if you've clicked, there's sort of some hierarchy of like which button you've clicked first. So you're only going to like move forward. It doesn't work if you click a lot, I don't think. Now I'm worried about that. So what I'm going to think about the rest of this podcast. But there is sort of some fail safes of like, if you haven't clicked, they have about 10 days with a couple emails in there to opt in to clicking and moving through the series before they go into my sort of dealer's choice one. So there's a little bit of like fail safe in there too, because like not everyone's going to like immediately read it and move on. So I got to wait. But once they made like two choices and then they don't choose again, they just sort of drop off. So that's one thing that I haven't figured that part out yet.
Oh. So if they don't make any choices, then you just choose for them and take them down a different experience, right? So now I'm wondering, you mentioned 10 days. Is there any particular reason why you decided to do it over 10 days? Does give that 10-day gap?
No, I think it might even be more than 10 days, honestly. It could be about 2 weeks. I think it's like, it gives, you know, it's like 5 days after the first email, they get a push, and then maybe another 5 days, they get a push of like last call to play. Otherwise, you're still going to get this great email sequence. And those, like, I would think I would have a lot of unsubscribes from that dealer's choice sequence, but I don't. Not anything more than normal. But I think I got feedback from people of like, oh, I only, you know, really check those emails, or like I'll save some emails for the weekend or whatever. So I just didn't want to lose people that don't go into their email as much as I do.
Now, I'm just wondering, if somebody comes and, I mean, this email sequence is like 60 emails, is going to last about 3+ weeks, right?
But, yeah, probably. For that, it might last about a month and a half.
So when somebody's going through this sequence, they don't get your regular newsletters?
No, they do. I know, it's a decision. You know, it's a hard decision, because I think there's often times where I'll be talking about something and like on Instagram, like, oh, if you just got my email today, or I'm about to drop this thing, if you want to get on my email. And so I don't want people to miss out on something like that's more in the moment. So I just don't, because I know that this sequence goes out Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 4. If I'm sending any other emails out on those days, it's happening in the morning, or I try and do more like a Tuesday, Thursday thing.
Okay. Because next thing I was going to ask is there any differentiator that someone sees this particular email and this one, they know that this is from the sequence?
Yeah, for sure. So the subject line's different, and I have a banner. So a lot of my emails are very branded. And so this one is like, it has a banner, it has a different footer, and it has that journey box. So people know that like they are part of the sequence, and then they're also getting my other emails. So like some people, if they're not paying attention to the two line, could maybe think it's like from different people. But they're very differently. They're branded very different.
Okay. Now, I'm actually looking at one of your emails.
Oh, okay.
Signature. right? So it has welcome to the signature cocktail experience, right? And it's like, is your marketing a martini, margarita, or a spritz? Okay. And then like, it's just so cool that I can look at it because I have experienced it. Mm-hmm. And so in the email, there's literally like a menu by the side, right?
Yeah.
And then you go in to give them all of that and everything. I feel like you guys should sign up for the quiz so that you can experience it, because I'm not going to share my screen and show you. Even if deep down it's like audio, you don't get to see it, right? But now I'm just wondering what the performance of the sequence has been, because you said something, you were like, oh, and you also sell, you know, in the sequence, because some people are of the opinion that, oh, the welcome sequence, they should get to know you. I don't want to be salesy. I don't sell in my welcome sequence. And then there are some other schools of thought that's like, oh, I do a sales-led welcome sequence, mm-hmm. right? But you already said that, oh, you're going to give them the experience and you're going to sell to them. So how would you say the sequence has performed in terms of the things you set out to achieve? So you talked about selling, you talked about training them to click, and you talked about really giving them that personalized experience.
So I will say that I don't think I've maybe gotten a handful of sales directly from them, right? But they're learning about my product and they're, you know, down the road buying. What I do want to add is that when they do click into a product, that then they get a couple more emails about that. And I don't have that built in yet to sort of take them down a sales path. If I did that, I would want to pause the rest of the sequence. So that's a little bit more complicated. But in terms of, I mean, when I immediately launched it and I sent it out to my entire list, my click-through rate went up to 6% overall, which I don't know about you, but I find it very hard to get, you know, an overall click-through rate above a 1.5 to 2.5. So, you know, individual emails are different. But so one, it just did wonders to help my click rates in general, which of course helps with email deliverability and all of that stuff. I have been surprised that more people opt into taking my dealer's choice than they do to play along.
Really?
But they don't unsubscribe and they open it. Like my open rates and my click rates and my unsubscribes are not any different in that than they are in my normal emails. So I find that just fascinating, because I like play. I like fun. I'm an Enneagram 7. Like I'm a shaken on my quiz, which is the social person. Like I want to play. If there's something interactive, like that doesn't feel like you're just going to totally pitched to me, and I try to make that clear that like we're having fun in this too, I would play along. So it's surprising how many people don't play, but yet they're reading it and they're enjoying it and they're loving it. But of the ones that do, like, you know, the feedback is great. People, you know, send emails. Like I feel like the engagement on this is much higher in terms of like, you know, feeling more connected to me and my brand, because I'll hear from them, you know, like, here, I didn't know you. I didn't even realize you had gone through it, right? And here we are talking about it. And like, I will get in these conversations and they're like, oh my God, I loved it. Like, I feel, you know, like I know you. I know more about cocktails and brand mixology. And it was just, I feel like there's a lot less like tangible results that are really cool than like the tangible ones. Are my open rates and my click-through rates went up a little. They've probably stabilized, but nothing's bad about it at all, except for the time. And when I want to, like, I'm about to updo a redo one of my offers. And so on my list, and I just added a new product. And so on my list is like, I have to go back through all of those emails and figure out which ones I need to change, which ones I need to update, you know, that type of thing. That can get exhausting.
And I'm just wondering, right, because this is such a rich sequence, is there anything you would do differently if you had to do it again?
Honestly, probably not. Well, you know, maybe I would. I have a lot of little digital products that I wanted to like get in everything. I think what I would do is just like stick to selling one thing throughout and maybe just sort of highlight the benefits of that thing in the different emails, versus, because now it's like, like I sell a lot of AI things. There's a lot of stuff that's out of date. I just turned a lot of my GPTs into Claude skills. And so I would need to like go back and like edit a lot of that, right? Whereas like the bulk of the messaging like doesn't need to change. Like cocktails are cocktails, brand mixology is brand mixology, brand strategy is as old as time, right? But it's those little things about my offers and my product. And when I switch from Kajabi to Thrivecart, I had to go back and make sure that all of the links work. And so I think like that's probably what I would do. I would just like streamline what I was pitching in that. Because it's not a lot of pitching. It's maybe like every third email you're getting like at the bottom half, sort of like, and if you like this, explore this. But it's still a lot of updating to do.
Now, the other thing is, I'm really curious, right? When you talk about the dealer's choice, this is you now giving them something. So I'm wondering, on the back end of things, yeah, are you using what they have told you before to create like a curated experience? Or is everybody who is being, you know, pushed to the dealer's choice getting the exact same email?
Same email sequence. That one is just, it's the, I have chosen, so like they're getting, you know, I think I've chosen like gin for them. I've chosen bitter. I've chosen, you know, I don't remember the cocktail style that I chose for them. You know, but like, but so, and so they're just the, basically the emails that if someone would have chosen those emails, those styles and those selections, it's those emails they would get, but it's just sort of one straight up welcome sequence at that point.
All right. So now if somebody wants to do this, right, if somebody wants to join you on this 60-ish email journey and create a choose your own adventure, because it is, I feel like what I really love the fact is that it is an experience. So
yes,
people will remember.
Yes.
And that memory is going to stick. And so when you're saying, oh, someone that helps it, like, oh, there's this mixologist, somebody. They may not remember the name, but they're going to remember that experience, that thing. And it's like, oh, let me check my inbox. Okay, if I said mixologist, like the brand should probably show if they can't remember any other thing, right? So if somebody wants to, you know, create something like this, how would you advise the person?
Yeah. So number one, I would say, like, don't think that just because you don't have like a theme business that you can't do this, right? Because like a lot of people are like, yeah, but like you have this whole cocktails thing going on. So like it's easy for you to like come up with something. And I think anyone can do this because it's really about creating an experience and like thinking about what is it's like to work with you, what your brand is like, what you talk about a lot, and just sort of like help guide, you're really just sort of guiding them through a welcome sequence, and you're just doing it in a more creative way. I wouldn't get hung up on the 60 emails either. I just tend to go crazy, and you know, the person is not getting 60 emails. It's just when you have four choices each and you have to go down these paths. You know, I think just sort of start brainstorming what I like to talk to people. If your business was a brick and mortar, you know, has a storefront, what kind of business would it be? What is that experience like when they walk through the doors? What are they, you know, getting? What are they seeing? What are they smelling? How are people greeting them? What are they doing next after they walk through the door? And sort of think about that and then figure out how to, you know, turn that into an email journey. And then it is a lot, you know, you definitely need an email platform that allows for tagging and automations and sequencing. But otherwise, you know, I worked with AI a lot to help keep track of all this. Especially I used a lot of like conditional formatting and the liquid syntax, whatever language that it uses to say, if this tag, then this, you know, I really worked with ChatGPT at the time to help me write it, you know, like the content was mine, but figuring out like all of the code that needed to go into these emails, like it was so much easier with AI.
Love it. Now, there are two emails that you sent that I want to talk about because I've been on your email list since I think like last year.
Okay.
Or earlier. Well, I've been on your email list for a long time, right? So this is, what is this? Even earlier than March of 2025.
Yeah. Oh, hey.
Yes. Good. So I don't think there's any 2024 here. Is there? But you've popped up in my inbox.
Mm-hmm.
It's like 2023.
That's fun.
And I'll tell you how, right? Well, okay. I've been on your list since beginning of 2025-ish. Yeah, 2, 3, 25. All right. So, right, ever since then, there's something you do on a month-to-month basis, which is your mixologist playbook for the month, yeah. Right? Like 45 minutes ago, I received your email, yeah. Right? Your July mixologist playbook, your mixologist playbook for July. Mm-hmm. And in February of, this is what, February 2025, you had also said your mixologist playbook for February. And you've been doing that month on month on month. And sometime this last month, right, I had this idea because I'm like, it would be great to have like a roundup kind of email for the brand, but I don't want it to come in the conventional way. And then I see this email from you and I was just going through your email. And I'm like, oh, she's actually been doing this, you know, month to month to month, but it comes differently. So I'm just curious, like, how did you come about this in your strategy and what role does it play for you?
Yeah, it's funny. I redid all of my entire email strategy at the beginning of 2025. So that February one is the second one I did because I the first one I did was January 2025. And I had sort of just refreshed a lot of my branding, my look and feel, because I released these deck of cards and I just loved the look and feel. And I was like, I'm going to use that for everything. And I knew that I wanted a sort of regular playbook or newsletter that was a monthly thing. But I was tired of everyone's, like a lot of people do the roundup, but I love them. I'm always opening every single one of them. But a lot of them were looking back and I wanted to look forward. So that was sort of one of the things that I wanted mine to focus on because so many people were like, I read this, I watched this, I did this. And I wanted to be like, you know, more like setting the tone in a way for the month to come. I do have one section that's like photos from the past month, but the rest is sort of like a looking ahead. And, you know, I'm proud that it's another way. I think so many of my emails, you know, we have like bundles or summits or podcasts that we're promoting and other stuff. And so I wanted to make sure that there was a place at least every month that I'm sort of like pulling back and looking at the bigger picture, promoting some of like my, I have a section of like monthly specials, which is like how you can work with me. I have a section about my brand bar, which is one of my offers of like what we're doing inside the brand bar in case you are interested. So you're sort of like following that. I have a section of vibe check, which is like half personal and half stuff happening in my business and half things that I'm just sort of required to promote, like a bundle or summit or something. For me, I like sort of one, having that place, I know at least once a month my offers are being shown and where I have sort of like this, an editorial section to like look at and say, here's where we're going for the month. I have a promo for the cards that I sell in there. Yeah, I love it. And I, you know, and I was looking today actually when I was sending it out because I, beyond my Choose Adventure email sequence, nothing is batched in advance. Everything, like, I'm hitting send the moment it's finished. I was looking, like, should I change up the subject line? Because I've done the same subject line forever. So I was just looking at, like, the open rates. And it is still consistently one of my highest open rates because I do think people love roundup in a monthly way, you know? Because I think people love it. It's, you know, people open it.
I mean, when I used to do send these emails for June, send these emails for July, right? Even when I use it as social media content, mm-hmm. people just love it.
Yeah.
So what I really love is that it's branded for you.
Yes.
And at the same time, it speaks of something because it's like playbook. So people want to know other people's playbook. What are you doing? Right? Mm-hmm. So the mixologist, which is the branding part, and then there's like the playbook. And of course, it's like timely for February. And I mean, I received the one for July on the 1st. So I'm assuming it goes out like maybe within the first few days of the
month. Days. Yeah.
Right. So the timing also is of so much essence. And I feel like people should actually adapt things like this in their strategy because it helps with that brand recognition. Mm-hmm. And of course, the imprinting on the minds of the subscribers. And just in case they haven't really followed the other emails in the month, this one now brings everything together.
Yeah.
Just so that you can, like, say, close out and start the new season in style, right? Now, the second email I was going to speak to, because I have also received it, Emmy, you sent a 6-month anniversary email, right? You sent a 6-month anniversary email.
You might have gotten my old one, though, not my new one.
Oh.
Does it have a picture?
Let me see if I can pull it up. A quick question. If somebody received the 6-month anniversary email and signed up again, would they get another 6-month anniversary email?
They would get it again. If they've unsubscribed and then subscribed again, it would only count from, I think, the first. That's a great question.
Okay, so this one doesn't have an image. Let me see if I have a second one in my inbox. For this particular one I'm looking at, doesn't have an image. It says, "Hi, Ivanoa. Wow, it's been 6 months since you joined my corner of the world. And let me pop up in your inbox. Time flies when you're mixing up marketing magic, doesn't it? I'm grateful you're here. And I'd love to know how's the ride been for you so far." And it goes on to ask like 3 strategic questions and then calls for feedback. So that's the first one that I received. I'm going to
take another question. I just redid it. So we can talk about both.
Okay. So what did you change and why?
So I love using AI and automations when I can and to make things personalized. We've talked about personalization. So I have set up an automation where I have a prompt that sort of works. It's technical, but uses make.com and OpenAI, and it creates a custom cocktail to celebrate you. So there's an image that's like a picture of me sort of like cheering at the camera, like, "Thanks so much for being here." Like, it, you know, cheers to 6 months or something. Says that you've been here for 6 months. And then it pastes in a cocktail that I've created with your, it just pulls in your first name and then creates a cocktail based on your first name. And people have been loving it. I just did this about 3 months ago. So only people who had joined, like, you know, 3 months before that. So I haven't gotten, you know, the other one was there for a while. And I will say, I probably had that other one going for 2.5-3 years. And I maybe got 5 people responding to it. And I've already gotten 5 responses to the cocktail one. So people don't want to do the work, but they will engage with you on something fun and personalized.
Oh, that's some serious feedback right there from 2 years plus of data. Now, you know, another really cool place where you could use this thing, because as you were saying it, I just remember there was something I wanted to do. And I talked about this thing like in the beginning of this year, and I still have not done it. But another cool place you could do this is if you have a birthday automation, right? So previously with the birthday automation, I used to have like this 3-part automation. The first one tells you, oh, your birthday is coming. Right, drop a prayer request. What are you planning for your birthday? Then the second one on the birthday says, "Happy birthday, here's my gift for you." And then the third one is, "Oh, did you receive your birthday gift?" Now, what I wanted to do for the main one was to do like a whole video where I'm doing like a party popper and I'm saying like, "Oh, happy birthday," you know, that kind of thing. And just do that video and add into it. But with what you already have for the 6 months anniversary, I feel like maybe with a few tweaks, you can use it and have a really amazing birthday automation. And then you could then put in maybe something like store credits or a special combo offer as the birthday gift, right? Or depending on how you want to. So maybe if you're thinking like selling whilst you're giving them a gift kind of experience, right? When you're doing that special combo offer that they can only get, you know, they use this particular coupon or something, or maybe you're giving them like credits. So it's not like, oh, a discount is now coming from the angle of, oh, you now have store credit that you can redeem during this particular time. Or maybe they are entering in for like a raffle of the month where all the celebrants in this month, that kind of thing, right? But I feel like you'll be pretty cool with what you already have ongoing.
Yeah, I love that idea. And, you know, I finally just moved every product into a shop page that's all linked to Thrivecart. So I could actually do a coupon code now for everything in my shop. So that's a great idea. No, I will say in my Choose Your Own Adventure sequence, I have a thing where if you like hit reply or you fill out a form or you do something, I'm pretty sure, then you get a raffle like in a drawing for a call with me. But it's been a while since someone has done that. And so now that makes me think I need to go back and check. This is the problem when you have complicated emails, is that I need like a quarterly like to-do list of all the things I need to check to see if I've updated stuff in time. But that is a great idea. I don't ask for people's birthdays, but certainly around their like sort of 6 month with me anniversary, I could add more to that. That's, yeah. Because why not?
I mean, why not? To make it fun.
To make some people feel special, you know?
Definitely, definitely. And now before we wrap up, right, this has been such an interesting conversation because we get to see the back end of what you're doing. And please keep the mixologist playbook for the month coming in because we really love it. And maybe we will just go ahead and even do like a feature on it because we're starting this series on Instagram from my inbox where I get to show off cool things that I discovered in my inbox. And I'll definitely like to feature that as well.
Love right? that. Yeah.
So this has been a really insightful conversation. And I'm sure that people already have their wheels spinning and all of that. So this question before we begin to wrap up is this. What is one mistake people can easily fall into if they are trying to execute this strategy?
I would say trying to do all of the cool things at once, you can always add to it, but start a little bit more simple and like build onto it. So for me, I did, you know, I had my menu set, you see, you know where we're going throughout, and I do love that X that, but you can do that and then add sort of the middle emails in between. So like once you make a choice, you get the email about that choice and then you get a second email about that choice. You could just sort of like skip some of those emails. But I would say, like, don't let, kind of like I was saying early on with my tagline misspelling, like, don't let perfection stop you from doing something creative and cool. I went down one, it didn't feel like a rabbit hole at the time, but turned out to be a rabbit hole, where I was using like a lot of rules within Kit because that seemed to be the best way to make everything work. And then it all broke after I went live. And I was like, Kit, why did this break? They're like, oh, you shouldn't use rules for that. I was like, did I get an email from you saying don't use rules for this anymore? Like, no. And so I think just like if you are doing something like very complicated, your email platform customer service is usually really good. Kit's customer service is great once, you know, I didn't like that they didn't tell me about that thing. But once they knew, you know, I was in it and I was just at their conference and their customer service is great. But don't feel like you have to do this alone. Rely on them. Ask AI to help you. You know, I think there's a lot of cool things that you can do with sort of conditional formatting and using some of their like liquid syntax language. But that's too complicated. It's kind of like coding your emails in a way, right? Like use AI to write that piece for you. Definitely don't try and like do it all on your own because it is a lot to keep track of. And then make sure as you go, you're documenting. Like I had a database going, so I knew like, you know, what emails needed to be right, you know, written, where things were in the path, what tags, what everything was, so that now when I go back and I know I need to like change because I'm promoting my brand bar, you know, and I'm changing that, I can go into my spreadsheet and see exactly the emails that talk about the brand bar. So I'm not having to comb through everything.
I mean, the tracker does help because then it helps you, you know, stay sane while trying to do all the things that you need to do. You just mentioned something. You were at Kids Craft and Commerce.
I was.
I mean, it has threads and every other place has been all abuzz with all the amazing, amazing, amazing things that you people did, connected. I know that Nomad Copy even did like this. Oh, you're nodding your head. I mean, when I saw it, I was like, could you guys just like take me and insert in the maze? It looked like so much fun.
Yeah, and they were into like a mastermind at a house on like the Saturday after the conference. And so we all sort of did like a mastermind there. I think one of the best things about that conference is just all of the people and sort of all these people that you're friends with online, just like to finally meet them or hang out with them. I mean, Sam from Nomad Copy, I've known her for a while in person, but yeah, there's a lot of fun things and karaoke and dance parties. And then just like hearing all of the cool things that Kit is coming out with this year is great too.
Yeah, and I think that's where I'm going. So could you tell us maybe one thing that you took away from the event, or maybe your favorite thing from the event, or one thing that has stayed with you that you want to implement on email marketing wise?
Email marketing wise, it's like there's a lot of things. So I am not the best at digging into data around my emails. I tend, you know, even though like because I think because I've built this like such complicated thing. So what I'm really excited to do is to use their MCP that connect to AI and sort of have Claude set up like some type of automation where it's going in to all of my sequences, like my product delivery sequences, plus my choose your own adventure, and sort of flagging on, I want to set up like a regular routine where every, I think month's too much, but every quarter, you know, I'm looking like, do I need to change subject lines? Like, do I need to, I would love to see the data around actual open times. What's really cool that Kit has finally done is you can now set the send time to when it's people's local time. So I, if I send an email, so my choose your own adventure email sequence is at 4 p.m. Eastern because that's happy hour time. I can now set that for everyone's 4 p.m. And so I think there's like just cool things in there figuring out the data. Like I can have now Claude look into the data and say, okay, everyone, when you've sent an email out at 8 a.m., you get more open rates than when you send it out at 2 p.m. Like that's the stuff that's like just really hard to comb through on your own. And so I'm really, I think, most excited about connecting it to AI now that we can to do that.
Okay. Thank you so much for sharing. That sounds really insightful, especially with all the more data you're going to get so that you can do a lot of useful things. Now, what is one email marketing myth that you like to bust? Something people believe in that you don't totally agree on?
It's so funny. I think there's so many different camps around sales only or nurture only, like we talked about, or just sort of like sending an email to send an email. You know, there's people that's like, you know, you just, no matter what, you just need to send an email every week. And I just think like you, I'm all about building signature brands and helping you really stand out in the inbox and on social and when you meet people in person. And I think that like sending an email just to send an email without really putting thought around the message that you're putting out there and sort of the brand and the impression and how you're sort of building that know, like, and trust is a misstep. So I think like, yes, if you haven't sent an email in a month or two, it is important to send an email every month. I think that that myth that you can just wait 6 months and then email has been busted. Like for email deliverability, you need to be sending emails on a regular basis. But just to send an email without any core message behind, people are going to stop reading your emails if they're not really seeing that through line. And I think there needs to be like a connective tissue around your, whether it's in the branding around the emails or something. And this is not a myth that needs to be busted also, but like, please do not just have your first name as your email sender name. I am
Okay.
immediately unsubscribing, or I'm just immediately deleting if you're my friend and I've told you, but like, I don't know who you are. If you're not Oprah or Beyonce or another one name person, I need a last name. I need a brand name. I need something to say that this Karen in my inbox is Karen from this brand. So I immediately am like, oh, I want to read that email.
Love it. And I feel like just in case people didn't catch that, people actually look at your front names and also decide to read your email. So let's ensure that we're doing first name, last name, or attaching our brand personality. So we're going to do a quick rapid fire and we're going
Okay.
to wrap it up. So first one, long emails, short emails.
I read them both. I will definitely skim it, and this is rapid fire crap. Short, even though I do long, I guess if it's rapid fire, I want to respect that.
Open rates or take rates?
Click rates. I have things to say about both, but we'll go with click rates.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. If somebody is signing up for a lead magnets immediately they sign up or lead magnets in the first email?
Well, the first email delivers the lead magnet, no? Or you're saying they should like get it in the sign up
So
form?
some people, when you sign up, right, it redirects you to like the lead magnets.
Oh,
So it could be
no,
like,
first email. Yeah. You should get them on your email list. The whole point of a lead magnet is to get them on their email list. And you got to start training them to open your emails and then click your emails.
okay. I mean, this thing has come up over and over again. You have to, I mean, I used to tell people that you can train your subscribers, but now I like that we are going a step deeper. It's like we're training them to open the emails, right? So it's not just, oh, nobody's opening my emails. What have you done? And this is a
Right.
food thought for everybody. Like, what have you done to train them to open your emails? Okay. So, I mean, I know you're a brand person and all of that, but plain text emails versus branded, colorful image full emails.
Yeah, I like the brand and colorful things. I think there's time and place for the simple ones, but I don't like the emails where you're trying to pretend that we're best friends and sending me an email like it came from your Gmail account. Like, I would prefer the branding. Yeah.
Oh, I haven't heard this perspective before. I find it quite interesting. So you just want them to be like your brand, be a brand
Yeah.
kind of thing.
Yes.
Okay. So I think at this point I'm going to end this session here because it has been fun and I've gotten a
Yeah.
lot of perspective from these questions. Now, the quiz, I know that we have talked about the quiz. We have talked about the quiz for our listeners. We have talked about the quiz. It's going to be in the show notes. I know that I have read out some of the emails and some of us are eager to go explore and see what the emails are. Really beautiful, really colorful. There's a lot of intention that goes in. I mean, when I saw that menu by the side, I'm like, okay, this designer, I mean, whoever designed this,
That was just
nah.
me in Canva.
Yeah, that was so good. Like it was, no, it was good. The arrangement and the way it just came in, I loved it. And then you just stand out. Because I tell people about, oh, using little boxes to make things stand out. But this one was like little box on steroids kind of thing. So it was just so extra. And I really loved it. So y'all just check the show notes and the link will be there.
Yes.
And you can go ahead and start your own adventure. And of course, if you see something you like and you get surprised, go ahead and tag Christine just so that she can know you're enjoying her emails, reply the email, give her some feedback, let's send her some love. Oh, I listened to your podcast and I signed up for your emails and this is so cool, right? Let's give her flowers. So, Christine, how can we connect with you? Where else can we find you?
Yeah, I am at District Brand Bar everywhere. I just launched a YouTube channel, so you can find me there at District Brand Bar, on Instagram at District Brand Bar, Threads on District Brand Bar. Yeah, LinkedIn is Kristen M. Lawton, but I'm sure if you just search LinkedIn and District Brand Bar, you'll also find me there too. But I would love to hear how you're loving it, what you thought about this. I love getting creative. If you want to get in my DMs and brainstorm what your choose your own adventure, email sequence could be, please do. Yeah, and this has been so fun. So thank you so much for having me. I love talking about this. I love getting people to think differently about how to just like really get creative and stand out in the inbox, because it our inboxes are flooded these days, and you got to do what you got to do,
Yes. And this has been such an insightful conversation. Thank you so much for coming. And for our listeners, remember, all the links will be in the show notes so that you just go one click, you're in her DM, one click, you're on her website, one click, you've got the quiz. We'd love to make life easy for you.
Oh,
And we're
yes.
still committed to that. So till next time, this is still Email Marketing Experiment. Thank you so much, Christine.
Thank you.
Hi, Dr. Sapphire here. Thank you so much for listening to yet another episode of Email Marketing Experiments. I'm going to ask a favor. Please leave a rating and a comment on this podcast. It goes a long way to help increase visibility for our podcast so that we can reach even more people. Till next time, this is still Email Marketing Experiments. Think it, test it, and share it.